Joining us now, down in AZ, is Pitchers and Catchers Report, our buddy Andrew Wagner from Madison.com and Forbes.com. Drew, how you doing, buddy? Drew!
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I can. Yeah, the echo's gone. Yeah. What's up, buddy?
I was holding the phone down, because you know in comedies or cartoons, there's always like a chase or something goofy is going on. There's always two dudes that are carrying a plate of glass into the path of whatever's happening.
Correct.
I literally just saw that happen. Two guys taking the pane of glass out of the truck in the parking lot, and a guy came whizzing around the corner of the golf cart and just smack.
Stop. Really?
Never saw it in real life. Thought it only happened in cartoons, but I just saw it in front of my eyes, so I apologize for cracking up there.
That is excellent. Good. I mean, I feel bad for the guy carrying the glass or driving the golf cart. Everybody okay?
Everyone's fine. Yeah, it was very Austin Powers-esque.
Okay, well, there you go. I'll take that in a heartbeat. Hey, so let me ask you a couple of different things. We've been sitting here debating this team. So the off-season moves. You tell me, what if you had to project a win total, depending on what you believe to be good and bad, you know, is it fair to say 84 to 87 wins, or is this team not vying for the top spot and they're going to be a team that's just hanging on to stay above 500?
I would say, I don't like to get into specific win totals because it always sets you up for disaster, but I like where you're at between 84 and 87. I definitely think they're going to be above 500. I definitely think they're going to be in the mix of things for a playoff spot. Whether that's division, whether that's wild card, remains to be seen. I know the moves they made aren't popular, but I like that they made those moves instead of just making a move, a bigger move, for the sake of making a bigger move. You know, instead of just going out and dumping money on a guy that they can say, well, look, we dumped this money on a guy. They made moves that will address needs the best way possible and leave them flexibility to do bigger things at those positions later in the year and again after the season when they're not tied into anybody long term.
The pitching staff, where would you put them? I mean, is this a good, average, or below average starting rotation?
Because we haven't seen so many of them, I mean, of the guys projected to be the five starters, we've really only seen one, and that's Brandon Woodruff. So we're going off projections for guys like Lindblom. We're going off, what did he do last year? Can he improve on it for guys like Anderson? Hoping guys like Lauer take that next step in their development. So as of right now, I think you have to say average. But it's also important to remember that's not necessarily a bad thing because of the way Milwaukee uses its bullpen, because of the way Craig Counsell uses its starters, and because of the guys you have in the bullpen. Not saying you can rely on Josh Hader to come in every night, but I think it fits the way the Brewers like to play, and it fits the way the Brewers have had success. So average is not always a bad thing, because you can always get better.
I think Corey Knebel is kind of an X factor, because you've got Josh Hader, arguably one of the best closers in baseball. But if you can, I don't like him as a closer personally. I like to see him used in many different situations. So I think Josh Hader, if they can let's just say Corey Knebel comes back and pitches well, can you morph him back into the closer role and then use Hader in other areas? Because Hader can go for numerous batters, or do you just leave Josh as a closer and everybody else has to fall in the line?
I think if Corey Knebel comes back and is Corey Knebel, I think he moves right back into that ninth inning role. And all of a sudden now, you're not looking at Josh Hader as being that multi-inning fireman. You're looking at Josh Hader and Brent Suter being those multi-inning guys. Because they're going to use Suter in the bullpen this year. David Stearns and Craig Counsell have told us. They're going to use him in the exact same role they did down the stretch last year, which is pitching multiple innings, essentially pitching in the same role that Hader had the year before he moved in the closer role. So now you don't have to worry about days that you burn Hader, because you can go to Suter to fill that role the next day. I think it makes sense, and I agree with you. I think Corey Knebel is definitely a wild card. If he returns to his form, doesn't have to be the dominant strikeout machine all-star form, but if he returns to that closer form that gives you success 98% of the time, and you can move Josh Hader back into that multi-inning fireman role and tandem him with Brent Suter, I think the Brewers' relief core, the back end, is in very good shape.
Who is starting at first base come opening day?
I think it's going to depend on who the Cubs are starting the starting pitcher on opening day, because I think it's going to end up being, you know, a matchup type platoon. I think you're going to see Ryan Braun in there. I think you're going to see Justin Smoke in there. I think you're going to see Ryan Healy in there. I think it's going to change, it's going to change on a regular basis until someone latches onto that position, kind of like 2 years ago when Jesus Aguiar just gave Council no choice but to leave him in the lineup.
What is your starting outfield?
I think on opening day it's going to be Braun, Yelich, and Kane for opening day. That would be my guess, unless they put Garcia in there and move Braun to first base for opening day. Again, that's, you know, so much can happen too, because you don't know. Someone could slip on a banana peel or step on a cactus tomorrow, and that changes everything. So I think if we're making up the opening day lineup today, I would figure that Braun is going to be in there either at first base or left field. If Braun's at first base, I would assume Garcia is going to be in the outfield on opening day with Kane and Yelich.
We're talking with Andrew Wagner, who's out in Arizona, Madison.com and Forbes.com. You can find him at @ByAndrewWagner on Twitter, @ByAndrewWagner on Twitter. So, you know, I want to believe that this team has legitimate capability of vying for the top spot in the division. Do you think it's the Cubs, the Cardinals, or the Reds that have made the most moves, the best moves, and really poses the serious threat to the top spot? Or all three?
You know, I look at it this way. I've said this about the Reds a lot in the last 2 years, but I say it now the same thing a little bit differently. I don't think the Reds, even with all their moves, are going to win the division. I think there's a lot of variables. I think there's a lot of big moves that were made, and it's going to take the guys some time to gel. But I think the Reds are going to have a big say in who does win it. I think the Brewers are right up there. And I know it's not a popular opinion. I know it sounds goofy, but you look at that division, I mean, really, the Cubs should be the only standout. With the star power they have in their lineup, they should be the favorite again. They've underachieved the last couple of years, no doubt. The Cardinals, aside from Goldschmidt, I mean, do they really have anyone that just blows you away? I mean, Miles Mikolas is a good pitcher, obviously, no doubt there, but they're not a star-studded roster either. Cincinnati has a lot of good names. Are they all going to produce the way it's anticipated? You know, we've seen before, big moves don't always pan out. They very well could have spent a lot of money, brought in a lot of guys. One or two of them go down with injury or lack of production, and suddenly they go into a tailspin. So, I don't know. I don't see the Central. I see it being tough. I don't see anyone being a breakaway team, which is why I don't think the Brewers are that far out of it. I don't think the straits are as dire as everyone's making it out to be.
How much do you think the new rule change with the minimum of three batters affects the way Craig Council manages the game?
I don't think much at all, because, and I broke down the numbers in a story not too long ago, the only pitcher it really affected was Alex Claudio, and less than half of his appearances were two batters or less, or one or two batters. So, you know, I don't think it's going to change things all that much, because most of their guys are full-inning or multi-inning guys, and because they have more multi-inning options out there, I think they'll be okay weathering that one a little bit. We know the big thing is going to come in September when Craig doesn't have the 40 guys to work with. I think that's the only rule change that's really going to affect them.
That's the reason I feel that this team has to have a substantial lead going into September.
I agree with you there, but I think another rule that's going to help them is having that 26th man on the roster, because that just gives one more piece you can use during the regular season. And if that means adding, you know, another switch hitting or left-handed bat or right-handed bat, whatever it may be, I think that puts them in a good spot. I wouldn't be surprised if David Stearns kind of uses that extra roster spot as kind of a shuffle spot, like he does with the last guy in the bullpen. You know, they'll keep moving fresh arms in and out. I could see them, you know, kind of swapping out and bringing up the hottest bat at any given time, bringing him up for a couple of games, you know, moving him back down, bringing somebody else up that's hot, and just kind of keeping fresh, hot bats on the bench, just like you keep fresh, hot arms in the bullpen.
I said Lorenzo Cain. You need to see him have a kind of a bounce back year. Another guy nobody's talking about is Eric Sogard. That left side of the infield, that needs to have a good, solid offensive season. Otherwise, it's shortstop. I don't know if Orlando Arcia is long for this world, because it's only so much defensively you can do if you're only going to hit 220 and 209 the entire time.
Yep, agreed. I think Orlando Arcia knows that he's in the slot right now. He's got to prove something. He caught a break when Urias got injured, but that could be tough. He has got to perform this year, or you know, things are going to change. The good thing is he does have an option remaining, so you know they could send him down and try again later, try to get him right. But he's got to show something, and he's got to show something soon.
So what is it like out there right now? I know yesterday was 45 and rainy and not the best of situations for baseball to be starting up in, but give us a little lowdown as the new American Family Fields of Phoenix sign has gone up.
I'm a little concerned. I came outside to take your call, and there's this glowing orb above me that's giving off this odd sensation on my skin. I'm not sure how to describe it, but it's not the bone-chilling cold that I usually feel back home. I don't like giving weather reports to the folks back home because I feel kind of guilty, but Bill, it's pretty damn nice right now.
Well, there's nothing wrong with it. I saw that a lot when we were down in Miami getting ready for the Super Bowl, and just to soak it in and maybe bring a little bit of it home is always a nice thing to do.
The only downside is there's no Quick Trip here, so I have not been able to get my Tonka Gold, nor have I been able to get my trip at Dunkers. So,
know the odd thing is they do have Quick Trips, they're just not spelled the same.
And they are definitely not the same.
They're just throwing me off. Yeah. They're just all fake out there. I agree with you, man.
Exactly.
Drew, always a good time to talk to you. I'll be out there in a few weeks, and I'll see you then, okay?
Sounds good. Look forward to it, Bill.
Appreciate it, buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go, our buddy Andrew Wagner from Madison.com, Forbes.com. You can find him on Twitter, by Andrew Wagner. On Twitter, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. Our friends at